Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, can we give God some praise? I know some of the ladies are just recovering somewhat from a very extended weekend, but I know I saw pictures and I saw so many great things. I heard so many great reports that I know that you're sitting here, and no matter if your body is tired, in your heart and in your just what you're feeling inside of you, you've been blessed in mighty, mighty ways. And we thank God for the beginning of many, many, many great birthdays. And I speak about Griselle. I thank God for her. She's here today worshiping the Lord. And we're going to continue just celebrating the great things that God is doing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's just so much that God is doing in our midst. Next week, as already was announced, we start our adult Sunday school. And in the course of the Sunday school, we're going to be focusing on the book of Joshua. And there's going to be great things that we're going to share. Amen? Well, I want to go right to the Word. We've been talking during the last couple of weeks, dealing with the topic of authority. And I can't help it. Even as we were singing today, the more we surrender, the more His authority continues to work in us. You know, it's really easy to present ourselves as goody two-shoes, but we weren't always goody two-shoes. And we like to say, well, we want to share, and we like to stand and say, you know, you see Pastor Alvin here, what you see is what you get. Yes, what you see is what you get. But you know what? Sometime in life, what you saw was not always what you were really getting. But God came in, like we said last week, and changed things around. And in doing so, He dressed us anew, and He imparted us with a new authority. Well, we talked about authority last week for the last 2 weeks. And today, I would like to start off by saying that the title of today's message is Authority and Wisdom. Authority and Wisdom. And we're going to talk a little about that. But right now, let us just bow our heads and ask the Lord to speak into our hearts and into our lives as we digest the terms dealing with authority and dealing with wisdom in our lives. It has to be God's wisdom. Amen? Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to thank You, Lord, for just being who You are in our lives, Almighty God. We want to thank You for Your grace and for Your mercy. We want to thank You for loving us the way that You love us, Father God. Even, Lord God, when we realize that we can appear unlovable, You still love us. Father, we just want to bless Your name, Lord God, and ask You to speak into our lives, Lord God, and to continue dressing us with Your authority, but cause us to operate in that authority according to Your will, according to Your way, and according to Your word. Father, we ask, Lord God, speak into us and dress us in You, Lord God. Pour Your wisdom unto our lives, Lord Father God, that we would go forth, Lord God, and exercise things the way You want us to exercise it. Father, we receive Your word today in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to talk about authority a little, and we're going to talk about wisdom. I couldn't help it, as the worship team talked about, I surrender. What is to surrender? What is to surrender? To surrender is to submit ourselves exactly where we are. I surrender myself to You exactly where I am. To surrender has to deal with knowing that you have situations and circumstances in your life, but you still want to submit to God exactly where we are. How many of us, and I'm going to be simple, how many of us have financial needs? Raise your hand. Go ahead. Let's blessed are you that don't have financial needs, but still, take your financial needs and surrender to God. How many of us have everything that you want in life? Raise your hand. Ooh, okay, praise the Lord. Okay, take everything that you have in life and surrender it all. How many of you have problems. Let's say problems at home. How many of you have problems at home? We have problems at home. Take your problems that you have at home and surrender to God just where you are. How many of you have, now I'm going to get a little bit touchy over here. How many of you have attitude issues? How many of you have attitude issues? You know what? Take those attitude issues and surrender yourself to God just where you are. Now, I'm not going to ask this. I'm not going to ask this because I know that does not exist. But anyway, I'll keep my eyes closed. How many of you have problems with the pastor? Take your problem with the pastor and surrender it to God. It's as simple as that. How many of you, sibling rivalry was not a term that just came up. Sibling rivalry was not a term that just came up. How many of you have problems with siblings or with those around you? How many of you have problems with somebody that you might be sitting to next to in church? Take that situation and surrender it to God. See, because what happens when we take our issues and our circumstances, God causes a touch of authority in our lives that will cause you to surpass that very same thing that's coming to hinder your life and to tear you apart. See, God is a God of keeping us walking in unity and in victory and in Him. We need to understand, it's no secret. Many people think that once you come to Christ and you submit to Christ and to the Lord, that everything is going to be peachy cream. That you're not going to have problems. That you're not going to have circumstances. That everything is going to be smooth sailing. Well, that's not true. That's not true. You will have situations. The Bible calls them tribulations. The Bible calls them tribulations. We will have tribulations. We will have circumstances that will be difficult to handle. But God says, if we submit to Him, if we submit to His Word, if we give ourselves to His ways, God will give us the wisdom to have authority over that. Amen. See, a lot of us misunderstand authority. A lot of us think that authority is throwing our shoulders back and walking around saying, I am le grand fromage, which is French for big cheese. How many of us know that after a while, cheese rots? How many of us know that? Well, I'm not a big cheese. I'm a child of God. That I'm depending constantly on His will so that He builds me up so that I can operate not on my authority, but His authority. His authority that will cause me to have victory over those issues and circumstances that the enemy throws my way. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, God called you to build you up. God called you to be a winner. Come on, tell your neighbor. Come on, you're sitting next to a winner. You better watch it the way you talk to that person. God called you to be a winner. But in order to do that, you have to be given to His Word. Ephesians 1:17 says, and I copied it, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I'll say that again. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation so that you may know Him better. God, I want to know You more. God, I want to know You more. I want to know You more. And I pray for that spirit of wisdom and that revelation that we will draw nearer and closer to God. See, the problem that we're having nowadays, that there are some that claim, but that aren't. Let me say that again. There are some that claim, but that aren't. Okay? We claim to be close to God and draw close to God, but for whatever reason, it just goes part of the way. And we're living in a season, in a time that we need to understand that God wants us to dive in head first, to go in to the point where we're saturated and covered by him, by his ways, by his glory. God gives us authority, yet to exercise it, we need to operate with wisdom. I'll say that again. God gives us authority, but in order to exercise that authority, in order to operate in that authority, we need to have wisdom. There is a connection between authority and wisdom. I'll say that again. There is a connection. If you have authority and you don't have wisdom, you're very dangerous. You're a very dangerous person. Sometimes we see in the home fathers or mothers that have authority, but they lack wisdom. I'll say that again. Fathers or mothers that have authority. In Puerto Rico, they call it la chancleta. In other places, it's the belt. And you know what? Sometimes we think there is wisdom applied, especially when you were those little kids. Mom is here. She's sitting right there. She understands what I'm talking. And they'll look at you, and there were some times where the parent had to use that wisdom and forewarn you of what you would experience. That's wisdom, by telling you, smell it. They would tell you, look at the belt and say, smell it. In Spanish, huélela, because that's what you're going to smell like. That's wisdom, telling you that there's something coming your way that's going to make you a better person. That's wisdom. Okay, they didn't catch you by surprise so that you wouldn't be tormented as to why. They were telling you something went wrong, and in order to correct it, we have to fix it. Well, the fact of the matter is that authority, we have authority, but we have to think on godly terms. How God wants us to operate, how he wants us to exercise that wisdom. There's the connection between authority and wisdom. We spoke for the last couple of weeks about the centurion. This was a man under authority, the Bible teaches us. The centurion had authority. But I would venture to say that being a man of authority, and he knew what the need was, and he knew what needed to be taken care of, and he had an understanding of something about the Word of God. When he went to Jesus, he used wisdom and said, this is the problem I have, but you know what? Just say the word. That's wisdom. Sometimes it takes that in your life and in my life to be able to say, I have this issue, I have this circumstance, I have this problem, Lord, and I need it to be fixed, but Lord, just say the word. The wisdom that you grant me, the wisdom, the understanding that you give me tells me that if you say the word, it will be taken care of. It will be taken care of. Think about the issues and the problems that you have. Use the wisdom, the awareness, the understanding that there is power in God, that there is power in the name of Jesus. Use that understanding in the struggle that you're going through, that there is power, restoring power, healing power in him, and apply that word and say, Lord, just say the word, and it will change. The centurion used that wisdom. Well, let me ask you a question. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? Some of you may want to take some notes. Anytime I hear something about wisdom, I need to take all the notes that I could possibly get my hands on. What is wisdom? Well, one definition of wisdom is the ability to discern or judge what is true, right, or lasting. In other words, to have insight. I'll say that again. Wisdom is the ability to discern, spirit of discernment, okay, when something does not look good and in the spirit you sense it and something is telling you it's not the right, that's discernment. That's discernment. Through discernment, he makes you smarter. The ability to discern or to judge, to evaluate, to make an assessment of, to have the ability to make an inference about something that you come across. The ability to discern or to judge what is true, to judge what is true, what is right, or lasting. To have insight. My wife and I were talking just in the middle of this week, and we were talking about the realities of present time, the challenges that we have. We're living in a time and in a season where it seems like mankind is trying to give themselves to that which is not really the order of God. And how do we as a people, how do we as an individual, how do we as a church deal with that? When the world, the politically correct world, is trying to convince a people that things are different from what the Word of God says, and that the Word of God is prejudicial, that the Word of God comes to plant a sense of confusion and kind of a sense of animosity with the rest of the world. Well, the fact of the matter is that the Word of God is the Word of God. And whether all of society tends to think that what they believe in, which is contrary to the will of God, is the correct way, it does not make it correct. It just says that people have a choice. God made us individuals to have a free will to choose and make decisions in our lives. But the fact of the matter is, if there's one truth in life, is that whatever choice is made, there are rewards and there are consequences. There are rewards and there are consequences. Let's face it. The choice to go out there and get drunk. The choice to go out there and get drunk. That's a choice. And maybe the reward is that for a split second you're going to feel in a high and you're going to feel, hey, I'm feeling really good, I'm feeling wonderful. The consequence is that there's an effect of that that's going to be tearing at your life. And I'm not even talking to you about the spiritual. I'm talking to you about the natural and the physical. You make choices, and when you and I make choices, unwise choices, we find ourselves in a situation where we have fun for but a moment, and then all of a sudden things turn around and we find ourselves in a place that's not a good place. When the Bible tells me that the remedy that God gives me is that I would find myself in a good and right place all the time, because that's the order and the plan of God. That's not the Word of God says, for I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. To give you a future, to give you a hope. This is what the Word of God says. He tells you, choose my plan, this is your reward. Choose my plan, and this is your reward. Not my plan, the plan of God. The ways of God. But how are you and I going to understand the plan of God unless we seek wisdom and understanding from Him? What is wisdom? The ability to discern or to judge what is true, right, or lasting. To have insight. Another definition of wisdom is to have common sense. To have common sense. To make good judgment. I know everybody here is always making good judgments. There's that one, that's why you're here, okay? Because you always make good judgments. But if, for any reason in life, you would find yourself that you messed up or did something contrary to good judgment, understand that God restores you. Understand that He heals and restores, and all you have to do is ask Him for that wisdom to make good judgment, to operate with common sense. Common sense seems like such an everyday, ordinary type of word. We all have common sense. We all have the ability to make a good judgment, to make a good decision. Look at your neighbor and says, you could make good decisions. You could make good decisions. Without going into details, somebody very dear to my heart recently shared about a decision that somebody else made. And that person said to the other person, you did what? What did you do? You woke up this morning and says, well, let me see what bad decision, what bad choice I could do today. Okay, we need to make good judgment. We need to make the right kind of judgment. Well, we do so by seeking God's wisdom. Through the word, we learned that we need to walk with wisdom. God calls us to operate with his knowledge. If you look at the scripture of Proverbs 9, verse 10, says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Please don't understand that that says to be terrified of God. It doesn't say to be terrified of God. God is love, the Bible says. He also says he's consuming fire. Pastor, what are you saying? God is love. And he's also consuming fire. You know, when God's fire comes, he comes to purify us. Okay? Consuming fire. Take me home. But the fear of the Lord, the fear to walk with an understanding that when God says no, we respond and we obey. We walk in obedience. Not because we're afraid of God, but we understand the value of the principles of God. We understand the values of the principles of God. If you ever come to Christ just because somebody spooked you into it and they're terrifying you, that's the wrong choice. You got to understand that God loves you so much that he has a lifestyle of victory ready and set for you, and that outside of God, you will miss that. And you and I don't want to miss that. We want to walk in the victory that God has for us. We need to have that understanding, that wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Now let me ask you a very, very basic, simple question. How can you possibly, and I'm going to say it again a third time, how can you possibly have an understanding of the knowledge of God if you don't read the Word of God? How can you and I possibly understand the ways of God, understand what his word says, if we don't read his word, or at least give heed to his word? Give heed to his word. Sometimes one might not be able to read it for whatever the reason is. Well, thank God that we're living in such advanced times that if you can't read it, you can hear it. I'll say it again. If you can't read it, you can hear it. But one way or another, you can benefit from his word that will bring wisdom and understanding to your life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. See, the more knowledge and more understanding you receive, the more equipped you are to operate in the authority that God has for you to operate in. People that you're sitting next to, that's a person of authority. You're not sitting with any ordinary group of people. You're sitting next to somebody that's a person of authority through Christ Jesus. That's one common factor that everybody in this room has right now. By hearing the word of God, you're understanding that there's a God-given authority that's called upon you in order for you to be victorious and triumphant in your situation. You're not a weak link. And if for any reason the enemy has come your way trying to make you feel like you're a weak link, do this with me right now. Shake it off. Shake it off. You're not a weak link. You're not a weak link. You're somebody that has been dressed in the authority of God through his word, through his wisdom. But you and I must give ourselves to his word and take heed. How do I get this wisdom? If you go with me to James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. And I copied it from the Bible. I have the Bible here as my witness, okay? But I copied it from the Bible, but don't take my word for it. Jot it down and go home and read it and check it out. If any of you lacks wisdom, this is what the scripture says. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I'll read that again. If any of you lacks wisdom, I have news for you. I still need wisdom. I still need a lot of it. Well, you know what? There's something wrong with the pastor from this church. Whenever he turns around and he says, oh, I have this problem and I have that problem. And I have this issue and I have that issue. And I go through this situation and I go through that. And you know, I'm not afraid to speak about lack in my life. Because every time I declare that, I know that my God is going to fill and satisfy that which I have a lack of. It's called being transparent. It's called being transparent, being sincere, being honest. The day that you see me walking down from the stage and floating in midair, one of two things are happening. I'm going home, or there's something seriously wrong. The fact of the matter is that if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives it generously. Everyone say generously. To all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I want to make a clarification. That means I could be a crumb bum and the royal messer-upper, and I can ask God for wisdom because he's not going to look at my faults. Let me make clear. I could be a crumb bum and an all-messer-upper. But the moment in time I come face to face with the awareness and the understanding of God, I need to repent and bow myself before him and say, Lord, you can turn this all around. You can turn this all around, and he will change your life. It doesn't matter how ridiculous a situation may have been. It doesn't matter the ridiculous place that you may have found yourself in at some time in life. All you need to do is acknowledge God. Acknowledge his love and his grace, and understand that Christ went to the cross of Calvary so that you and I could be made whole and we could enter into eternal fellowship with God, and he will then find us blameless. He will find us without fault through the grace of Christ Jesus. Ask for wisdom, and it will be given to you. Ask for that awareness and that understanding to make the right choice and the right decisions in your life, and it will be given to you. If we ask for wisdom, he will give it. And how can I ask for wisdom? How will he give this to me? Well, wisdom will come into my life, A, through accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. But how do I know that? I need to read his word. Give myself to his word. Take heed to the counsel of the godly, and reflect on how our needs compare to our wants. How our needs compare to our wants. I want. You ever been at Toys R Us during the Christmas holidays, right before Christmas, and you see the 4, 5, or 6-year-old, maybe the 23-year-old, pulling on mom or dad or whoever is next to you? I want that. I want that. No, I can't get it. But I need it. But I need it. I once heard a preacher say something that's so to the T, that's so clear. Sometimes it's not about a toy or an object. Sometimes it's about a relationship. Oh, if he leaves me or if she leaves me, I'll die. No, you won't. No, you won't. You won't. If there is someone there that's not meant in the pattern of God for you, and that person stops being there, you will not die. Amen. However, if you ignore the wisdom of God and you go through with whatever it is that you want, you can die. Wisdom. Everyone say wisdom. Wisdom will teach me how to choose between what I really need and what I really want. But we got to ask. That's what the word says. If anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God for it. Anyone say ask? I find it true to be, even in the body, I find it true to be, even today, that some of us still don't know how to ask. Hello? My toe just began to hurt. Maybe I stepped on my own toe. That some of us don't know how to ask. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Another translation, ask and you shall receive. Pedid y se os dará. Ask. Some of us know what we are in need of. Some of us need for God to step in and provide. And we know that, and we go before God like this. When God is saying, go like this. Go like this. Stretch your hand out. See, because as you stretch your hand towards God, God's stretching his arms around you to embrace you. But some of us don't know how to ask. The fact of the matter is that the word says ask, and we will come to realize that God will provide. God will provide what we need. Another scripture says, the Lord will provide all my needs according to what? According to what? Oh, come on, people, read your Bible. According to what? According to his riches in glory. See, God has riches in glory to provide your needs. But I also come to the realization that some of us, we have not because we ask not. We have not because we ask not. But can I tell you something? That asking is not just verbalizing a need. Lord, I need this, Lord. It's not only that. It's trusting that if I truly go to my God and I truly ask him, Lord, I need you to take care of this need. And I've said this before. I need a blessing in my life. Tell him that you need that blessing and let him define the blessing in your life. Let him define what it is that's going to remedy your situation. See, right now, according to the way I look at it, I need right now $10 million. Does anybody here have $10 million that you can grant me? I need $10 million. How many of you would be okay with $10 million? How many of you would be okay with $10 million? I need $10 million. See, I have dreams and I have things and I have needs. You know, could you imagine, Joel, how much cheese I could buy with $10 million? Okay? Now the fact of the matter is, I'll say, Lord, I need $10 million. And I bow my knees before God. Lord, I need the $10 million. Lord, I'm not going to stop praying until I get the $10 million. And then one day God reveals to us, but I have $10 billion for you. $10 billion. And maybe, just maybe, we'll be able to ask the right way. We'll be able to ask for what God has in store for us. But in order for you and I to do that, we need to, listen carefully, we need to exercise wisdom even in our asking, according to the word of God. We need to soul search. We need to search deep within us. Lord, this is the need. This is the dream. This is the vision that I have. Lord, this is how I see that you, but Lord, you have all the power and all authority, and everything that belongs to mankind is in you. And just begin to declare and ask with that wisdom and that authority for God to take care of the need and the situation that you bring before him. But how can you do that? We've got to search the Word of God. James 1:5 teaches us that God will not only give us wisdom in our time of need. Listen carefully. He will not only give us wisdom in our time of need. He will give it generously. He will give it generously. He will give it generously. Hasta que sobreabunde. Hasta que sobreabunde. He will give it in abundance. He will give it in abundance. I know that many of us are stuck at times in a place where we say, well, I could only go but so far. But today, my brother, my sister, I'm here to tell you that if you operate in the authority and in the wisdom of God, he will take you to a place where there is no limits. I'll say that again. He will take you to a place where there is no limit. I'm daring and I'm bold enough to dare to believe that I'm going to see the glory of God the way the Bible tells me in the land of the living. We are in a day and in a time where we're going to see his glory, and God is going to show himself up in the midst of my circumstances. God's going to show himself up in the midst of my tribulations, in the midst of my problems, and he's going to turn it all around, and I'm about to become a brand new person in him. Look at your neighbor and says, you're going to become a brand new person in him. Oh, my goodness, I see a transformation. I see a transformation. People of God, let's rise to our feet right now. David, where's David? Where's David? Come on, David. Come on. Don't walk. Run. Let's see a transformation. Run to the altar. And we're going to see a transformation because we're ready to surrender and submit to what God has for us. How many of you are ready to see that transforming power come and fill us with his authority and his wisdom? Come on. Meet me here at the altar and let's just worship the Lord right now. Meet me at the altar right now. Come exactly as you are. It doesn't matter what limitations you might have, what circumstances you think you might have. It doesn't matter what frailty. It doesn't matter what threat you think you might have. It doesn't matter what issue, what attitude, what circumstance. Nothing matters. He's about to supply your needs. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The day is coming. Oof. The day is coming. And it's approaching very soon that you're not going to be afraid to talk about what was and declare what is and what will be. Talk about what was. Oh, if people only knew what I was like. Don't worry about that because God already knew. Because God already knew. But you're not going to be afraid. You're not going to be afraid. You're not going to be, see, God would not make us ashamed. He will use whatever transpires in our life. Hallelujah. He will use whatever transpires in our life. He will teach us how to look at it with the wisdom and the understanding through the Word of God. And instead of saying, ouch, you're going to say, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for that experience because although I hurt at that time, you turned it all around. And today I could stand here and say, I was a crumb, but I'm a good slice of bread now. I was a crumb, but I'm a good slice of bread now. And the more I go on, God is going to turn me into a delicious sandwich. See, and God's going to cause me. Hallelujah. God's going to cause me to make a difference and an impact. Hallelujah. Come on, let's shake off what used to be. Let's shake off what used to be. Let's shake off what used to be. And understand. Hallelujah. Oh, God is turning things around. Hallelujah. Oh, you're turning things around. Father, you're turning things around. Lord God, you're teaching me, oh God, that there are things that I need in my life. And not only you're tossing me to acknowledge them, but you're showing me that there's a way that I will go, there's a way that I will travel, there's a way that I will walk, that you will cause me not only to become triumphant over those challenges, but to make a difference and to do what you call me to do once and for all. 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 Come on. You're not ordinary people. You are not ordinary people. You're human beings with an extraordinary call in your life. With an extraordinary call in your life. I've been doing a study, and most of my notes and what I'm sharing is a study that I've done through that preacher, Dr. Michael Youssef. And he shared some really powerful information. But I'm going to tell you right now, there comes a time that we're going to understand the principles and the character of a man of godly wisdom, of a person of godly wisdom. And that's where we're leading. God is causing us to develop that character in that way that we can stand firm and once and for all be who God is calling us to be. Be who God is calling us to be and experience what He wills for us. Hallelujah. People of God, lift up your hands and just worship Him. Hallelujah. Thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. Thank Him, thank Him. Because in the midst of everything, He's understanding your needs. He's understanding your needs. And He will provide. He will provide. He will provide. He will grant you the awareness, the knowledge of how to handle what you have. This might be for me, or this might be for anyone here. Take it as a freebie. If you're asking God for a provision, but you don't have the wisdom to operate that provision, you're only going to hurt yourself. See? But ask God for that wisdom. Ask God for that wisdom to help you. To put the priorities where they need to be. To put the priorities where they need to be. And you're going to be amazed how God will cause you to do more with less. God will cause you to do more with less. And then you're going to see increase. You're going to see increase. And you're going to see increase. And you're going to see increase. And you're going to see increase. God's about to change your economy. Oh, people of God, God's about to change your economy. God's about to change your economy, and you're going to be amazed. You're going to be amazed and astonished with what God is going to do in your life. You're going to sit there at your dining room table on a Friday night, and you're going to say, but where did all this extra money come from? I'm not a money preaching pastor, but I'm going to tell you, God is going to cause you to have provision, but you need to put the priority where it belongs. I'm going to tell you something right now. This was not part of my message, and I'm not that kind of money preaching pastor, but I'm going to tell you right now, people of God, if you have not practiced tithing, it's about time that you take a step and say, I'm going to put God first. I'm going to put that priority, and I'm going to tithe. I'm going to tithe. I don't look at the tithing records of anyone. I don't look at the tithes. That's none of my business. I'm here to tell you, just put God that priority first. Put Him in that priority and watch what He's about to do with the 90% that you're going to be holding on to. I see an impact. I see a people that are going to impact the world. And people, please, if you have not had the experience to tithe, don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. I'm going to tell you this again. Don't feel bad. God loves you. God loves you, and He's telling you right now, just launch yourself to do, and trust me, even at a higher level. Even at a higher level. We serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. And I'm not here to talk about tithe. I'm here to talk about wisdom and authority. Wisdom and authority. Can we trust God? Father, lift up your hands right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're standing in your presence, Lord. And I'm just asking you right now that you would build us up, strengthen us, Lord God. Father, that you would cause ease, Lord God. Even when we speak about the things of yesterday, oh God, that we would be able to do so with an act of gratitude and thankfulness unto you for the great things that you're doing in our midst today. Father, I pray wisdom upon us. I pray a hunger, a desire, a passion for your word, oh God. I pray a passion for that word and awareness that we will dig deep, that we will dig deep, that we will dig deep, that we will dig deep into your word and let your word speak to us, because through your word you speak to us. It's not about the pastor preaching on Sunday, or the Sunday school teacher teaching on Sunday, or the Bible teacher teaching on the day of the Bible study. It's not about that. It's about your word speaking into our lives. Father, if we lack the ability to read, to comprehend, Father, open up our hearts, our minds, Lord God. Make our eyes clear that you will touch us, that you will touch our eyes and give us an understanding. Give us a discernment, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord God, right now, speak into our lives so that we could become who you want us to become and who you're calling us to be. Father, we glorify you. We thank you. We submit and we surrender. Hallelujah. Come on, repeat with me. I surrender, Lord. I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. Come on, just tell the Lord. I surrender, Lord. I surrender, Lord. I surrender. I submit my circumstance, Lord. I submit my weakness. I submit my frailty. I submit my illness. I submit all the things that I need. I submit my life to you, oh God. I submit my life to you, oh God. I surrender, Lord. I surrender all. I surrender. Father, in the name of Jesus, I surrender to you, Lord God. Lord, operate in my life. And let your glory be manifested in me. Take your right hand and place it over your head right now. Take your left hand and place it over your heart. Repeat with me. Lord God, I want to change. Lord God, I cannot be at the end of this year who I was at the beginning of this year. I call on your promises. I call on your victory. And I pray in Jesus' name, let the change begin now. Let the change begin now. I surrender to you. I love you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, as we get ready to part from this place, we do not part from your presence. I ask you, Lord God, to guide us with your blessing, O Father. Carry us with your protection. Cover us with your anointing, O God. Father, and cause us to walk triumphantly and in authority, exercising your wisdom in Jesus' name. That the peace, the love, and the accompaniment of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray, and God's people say, amen. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. Embrace one another. Hallelujah.